about, but that's what we'll take tonight to do. So if you're here and you've been fasting, you want me to go fast, right? Well, we got to work together, okay? So who's listening? So I only have, I don't know, 100 or so slides, so we ought to better get through them pretty quick. Anyway, no, I got it. We're just going to get started because we got tomorrow morning and then we got Sunday night and we're going to continue it. But here's our we're going to begin this celebration and just want to inform everybody on what it's all about, what's involved in it. And so the book of Esther, hopefully you've been reading that book, just kind of familiarizing yourself with it. If you haven't, it's a good time to start. Start reading the book of Esther. Start familiarizing yourself with that book and what went on, actually. And then you'll see in there, when you're reading it, this feast that was celebrated, this celebration. Now, this is not one that is commanded to be celebrated. It's not like Passover or Sukkot or Yom Teruah. But nonetheless, it's a feast that the Mordecai instituted as one to celebrate the great salvation of the Jewish people. And they continued to do that. And so a lot of people would say, well, what does that have to do with us? We're not Jews. That's the problem with Christianity today. That's a big problem. And I'm going to get into that more on Sunday. I'll talk about it. I'm going to show you each scripture that should correct that type of thinking. The Bible says, and we'll show you those verses of Scripture. I'm not going to show them tonight. But it says that we've been grafted in to the real olive tree. We're not the real olive tree. We're grafted in. So when you get grafted in, you don't change what you grafted into to become what you are. How many understand that? Because how many know when you get grafted in that you're not the stronger? There's already an established root. You just graft it in. Does that make sense to everybody? And so we have become spiritual Jews. That's what we are. And we just got to get that in our mind. If you're a believer in what Jesus established for us, then that's who you are. So this whole Jew-Gentile, this whole separation has been a big disaster when it comes to the amount of people that could be reached in this long period of time that we've had and where we are now. And it's because we haven't followed the Word of God like we should. And that's what we want to start doing. Amen? So this Feast of Purim, we're going to continue to look at for tonight, Sunday and Sunday night. So we'll have a lot of time to cover some things. But tonight what I want to do is I want you to know it's a time to be happy. How many happy? You know, let me tell you, what made them happy is they were going to die on a certain day. And the guy that was responsible for putting all of them to death, he died on the day that they were supposed to die. That make you happy right there, won't it? Huh? Well, that's what we have to do. This is a time to be happy. And also, as a believer, it's a time for us as believers to remember there was a time that we were subject to death. But somebody in our stead died for us. Isn't that incredible? So it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to be happy. It's a festive time, a time to be joyous and express that joy. Now, what we've done in our lifetime is we've let other things bring about that type of spirit in us. Right? Other things. I mean, that brings that type. But how many know the Word of God wants to do that? But we don't see it. And that's what our job is to look at this tonight and see it for how it's written. So we've got 10 chapters in Esther, right? And I'm going to try to cover all 10 chapters. It's going to be the quickest time. We're going to go through all 10 chapters. Is that all right? That's what the goal of tonight is to go through 10 chapters. All right? And if you'll just hang in there, them hamburgers and hot dogs, they're just basking right now. We know every one of them by name, me and AJ. We were naming them. Mine, mine, mine. We left some for y'all. Glory to God. So how many happy? All right. Is this happy? I'm just wondering. Maybe I've missed it. How many got the joy of the Lord? You'd have joy if you'd experienced what they experienced. So let's go through this. We'll try to cover each one that we can. And so the book of Esther, you'll see it up there. You'll see it up there, the Feast of Purim. Now, let me give you a look. Now, basically, we're gonna read the Megillah. It's called the Megillah. So what I'm going to do tonight is basically read the Megillah. This is what was done on Purim every time. So what do? You read the book of Esther every time this celebration comes. You should read it to your children. You should explain to them what it's about, what happened, what was going on. So our children need to know. It's called the Megillah. So that's what basically we're going to go through, but I'm going to do a condensed, real fast, 10-chapter Megillah reading, okay? So the Megillah would be known as the book of Esther, okay? So keep that in mind. Now the word Purim comes from the word pour, P-U-R. Now, it's not P-O-O-R, okay? So it's not so much a Hebrew word, more than it's a Persian word. And that word means lot, L-O-T. Lot is what they would cast in order to make a decision. So that's where it came from. So they cast pour, that's what Haman did. He cast pour to see what day he would annihilate all the Jews. Well, how many know, Lord, you're going to have to help me? Because it's so hard for me not to just take off. How many know what take off means? No rabbit trail. I'll keep you here all night. So let me try to keep this, I'm going to tell you all this stuff tomorrow, okay? So I'm trying to not say as much as I need, but I just want you to know so bad. So poor is Lot. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture tomorrow, and it says that the lot can be cast, but God determines which way it ends up. So in the first month, Haman's going to cast lots. And isn't it amazing that the lot was cast on the last month in the Hebrew calendar, and it gave them 12 months. So that space of time, it was a critical time for everything to take place in the book of Esther that needed to take place. What if the lot would have went on the next month? Then you understand how important it is to have the time that God gives you and to utilize the time God gives you and do it very well. This was important. So this is what pour, and so Purim is just lots. You add the S, right? I am in Hebrew language is the plurality of it. So that's where you get Purim. Okay, is that everybody followed me so far? Now, let's go through each chapter. We're going to go chapter 1 all the way to 10. I'm going to give you it as condensed as I can. This is the Megillah, the reading for you, just to get you ready for service tomorrow. And so hang in there. Just start thinking about, you know, this is what brings joy to you. In a little while, I'll be done. I'll be finished and we'll be heading over there. And please, no pushing and shoving. Don't run over each other. Chapter 1, King Ahasuerus throws a party. Now, this wasn't just a little party. This was a big party. A lavish six-month party. Anybody ever had a party for 6 months? 6 months he had a party. Celebrating marks the third year of his reign. This lavish six-month celebration marks the third year of his reign. Ahasuerus, king of Persia. Now, this Persian kingdom was 127 provinces. 127. It was huge. It was the biggest kingdom at that time. And remember, Persia was the one who defeated Nebuchadnezzar's reign. How many remember that when you're reading in the Bible? Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he was Babylonian captivity, but he was told, you're going to lose your kingdom. And who stepped in? The Medes and Persians. This is that reign right here. This is that time. So one of the things that we find, God intervenes for the Jews here, but everything had already happened. Babylonian captivity had taken place. The Medes and the Persians took over, and the Jews were free to go back to Jerusalem. They were free to go. But some, they loved the lavish lifestyle, and everything was so nice and wonderful in Persia. Nobody wanted to make the hard trek back to Jerusalem and go to a place that was burned up and broken in pieces. So I want you to keep that in mind. Show you how God comes through for his people, even in that situation. Queen Vashti, which was the queen of Ahasuerus at that time, refused the king's request to appear at the celebration and display her beauty for the assembled guests. The king's advisors counseled that Vashti be replaced with a new queen. Chapter 2. How was that for getting through chapter 1? Esther becomes the queen. Mordecai tells Esther to conceal her identity. Esther is chosen to be queen. Mordecai learns of a plot to overthrow the king. Mordecai informs Esther, and Esther tells the king, and the plotters are hanged. Across the Persian Empire, officials are appointed to identify beautiful candidates to succeed Vashti as queen. A Jewish girl, Esther, the niece of Mordecai, is brought to the capital of Persia as one of the candidates. Chapter 3, the rise of Haman. Ahasuerus appoints Haman to be his prime minister. All bow in homage to Haman. Mordecai consistently refused to bow to Haman. Why didn't he bow to Haman? There's some things I'll talk about in our next two services. Why wouldn't he bow to Haman? Because he was trying to be a big shot? There's one reason he didn't bow to Haman. He couldn't bow to Haman because he can only bow to God. He was a Jew. You understand? He wasn't trying to say, well, I don't care what he says, I ain't bowing. He just explained to the people that were standing there, I can't. I cannot bow to Haman. I'm a Jew. I worship the Lord my God. Him only I'm going to serve. And so for that, Haman was so upset, he made this plot to kill all the Jews. It enraged Haman. Vowed to kill all the Jews in Persia. Haman prevails upon Ahasuerus to destroy the Jews. So he makes this plot. A royal edict is disseminated throughout Persia on the 13th of Adar. It's designated as the date to exterminate all Jews and plunder their possession. So it's and you have to understand it. Once in Persia, the way it was, once it was written and sealed with the king's ring, it was done. He can't say, well, I'm king, I'm undoing it. He couldn't do that. You'll find that in the book of Esther. He couldn't undo that decree. Now, God spared him because he had another decree. But he didn't undo the original one because it was done. And so it was a certain death for all the Jews that was going to take place. Chapter 4. Esther's mission becomes clear. Mordecai tears his clothes, puts on sackcloth and ashes as a sign of public mourning. Mordecai sends a copy of the decree to Esther and asks her to intercede with the king. Now he reads this decree and he says, we're going to all be dead. We got a few months. But he got in sackcloth and ashes at the king's gate. The king's gate is very unique in Persia. Every decision that was made for the kingdom happened at the king's gate. Where was Mordecai? At the king's gate. So God was going to use him, but what did he do? He put sackcloth and tore his garments, and he sent the decree to Esther, and he says, you got to read this. We're in trouble. And this is when he makes his plea. Esther replies that to approach the king without being summoned is a risk of death. I know you want me to go to the king, but if I go without being summoned, I'm going to die. Why is that? How did she know that? Because, again, that was something that the king, that was one of his rules. If you weren't summoned, you could be risking your life. Mordecai tells her she has no choice. You have no choice. Esther tells Mordecai to ask the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days before she will approach the king. 3 days. We only fasted one day, right? Aren't y'all glad I didn't stick with the 3 day? Glory to God. We might have got hijacked in here tonight. Chapter 5. Esther's strategy, Haman's fury. All these are just subtitles. I'm breaking it down for you. You can take these, look at them, use it to read the book of Esther as it broke down for you. King Ahasuerus receives Esther and grants her virtually any request because he spots her. He said, who is that? And Esther said, it's me. And this is what she said before she went in. She said, I'm going to go in. If I die, I die. But did she go in without doing something first? What did she do? She said, tell the people, I'm going to fast and have everybody else fast and pray before we go in. Remember, how many want God to do something in your life? You know, you can pray and ask God to do something in your life, but it doesn't eliminate human responsibility. How many understand that? We're not relieved of human responsibility simply because we ask God to do something. We still have a responsibility, and that's what she had a responsibility. She prayed, she fasted, but she still had to go in before the king. She had to put her, and sometimes we want God just to do it. But just because we prayed and fast doesn't mean that human responsibility is just left out after that. We still have a responsibility to follow through with what God asks us to do. Esther's request that the king and Haman join her at a banquet. After the banquet, Haman sees Mordecai, who once again refused to bow. And when Zeresh, Haman's wife, suggested that Mordecai be hung, the gallows are prepared. And so, you know, Mordecai, Haman goes home and he's just all upset. He said, I can't believe it. That Mordecai, he gets under my skin. Everybody else is bowing down to me. I'm the prime minister, and he just stands there. And he gives me that silly, same excuse every time. I can't. And so his wife says, well, what you need to do is you need to build the gallows and get ready and just hang him. Now, again, some of the things I'll speak to you in more detail, when it talks about hanging here, it's not what we think. In Western thought, we think gallows is what? It's the little board with the top part with the noose coming down, right? But he's not talking about that here. He's talking about being impaled. All right? So they're going to make a human shish kebab, basically, for you to get the picture. So she said, just get ready and build it and get ready, and you can just stick Mordecai right on there. And everybody will get it then. I'm sure you would, right? You walk outside and you got somebody, they impaled clean through their body, and they're just hanging there. That's what he's talking about here. Chapter 6. The reversal begins. How many of you know when God's involved, there's a reversal that'll happen if we'll just make sure that we follow through with our responsibility? Remember, you can pray, you can ask God, you can fast, but it doesn't stop our human responsibility. We're responsible to follow through and do what God asks us to do. The king can't sleep. When I was studying this, I was sitting on the front of a boat. And we had already had breakfast and we were just relaxing. And I had my Bible and I was reading on the front of this ship. And I got to that part. I'd already listened to it and read it several times, but I got to that part. The king could not sleep. How many know when God moves for you, sleep goes away? And that done something for me. I just, right there, I had my sunglasses on. I was glad I did, because I began to weep right there in front in that boat. And I said, God, this is amazing. It wasn't any other night. It was that night. That night he couldn't sleep. I can't sleep. So what does he do? He asked to hear the Royal Chronicles. Somebody come read what's been going on in my kingdom. Somebody come read it to me. And for the first time, the king learns of the assassination plot that Mordecai had revealed. Who's Mordecai? See, he don't know that Esther and Mordecai are related. He has no idea. Who's Mordecai? Well, that's the Jew that's at the king's gate. Did we do something for him? Did we do anything for Mordecai? No, king, we ain't done anything. Well, I'm going to do something for him. Let me see. And about that time, Haman's coming in the court. And he said, who's that coming in the court? And he said, it's me, Haman. He said, well, come here. He said, listen. He said, if I wanted to bless somebody big time, Haman done went, oh boy, here it comes. I'm about to win the lottery. He said, if I want to just bless somebody, I mean, I want to bless them big time, what should I do? Haman said, well, I'd take one of the king's royal robes that the king wears in public, and I'd take the king's horse and chariot. And I take the king's crown that he wears and I'd put it on the man that the king wants to honor, and I'd parade him through the streets of Persia, the capital, and say, hail to the one the king wants to honor. And the king says, good idea, Haman. Go ahead and do it to Mordecai. That'll shock you, won't it? Won't that shock you? Well, I was coming. You know what he was coming to the king's palace for? To ask the king if he can put Mordecai and hang him, impale him on the gallows. How many see reversal? You see what I'm talking about? There's a reversal that happens here. How many know God is ready to reverse some things for you if you'll just submit to him? He wants to reverse some things for you. So the king can't sleep? I wonder why. He learns of the assassination. The same night Haman comes to see the king about hanging Mordecai. Before Haman can speak, the king tells Haman to honor Mordecai by dressing him in royal garments, to place him on a royal stallion, and to personally lead him through the streets of Shushan, the capital of Persia. Chapter 7. Now, reversal of fortune. Reversal of fortune. Let's see what happens. At the second banquet, Esther reveals her identity. Announces that she and her people are about to be murdered. Esther identifies Haman as her arch enemy. He's it. He's my arch enemy. Because, you know, they're having this conversation, and she's telling the king, you know, there's somebody who wants to kill all my people. And he said, well, who would want to do something like that? Who would want to harm my queen? And Haman's sitting there, and he goes, I believe there's a moment he went, uh-oh. And she said, well, it was him, this evil Haman. Esther identifies Haman. The king has Haman hung on the same gallows that had been prepared for Mordecai. The same gallows. You can see the fortunes unturned. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns around for good. You think maybe we ought to be celebrating Purim? I'm just asking. You ever wondered this question? I asked this question. How is it we can be in church all these years? How is, you ever wondered that? I want to know. How is that possible? That we can be so caught up in a lot of other things, but never come to the full understanding of the Scripture that way God would want us to. Could we say it's God? Maybe God didn't want us to know? Or is it any time, maybe it was a lack of us really seeking the Lord, really digging deep, really saying, you know what? Let's drop all the fluff and let's grab us a Bible and dig deep into the Scripture and see what are we missing anything? Let's put it in question. Let's ask ourselves, am I really getting this? Have I just joined the group? I go to church. Am I okay with saying that's going to be enough for me to be okay? Or do I really want to check myself? And I think this is the reason why these things are being revealed. Chapter 8. The reversal is complete. The reversal is complete. Mordecai is named prime minister. Who was prime minister? Haman. Where he's at? He's got that pose going on, right? But who's prime minister now? Mordecai's prime minister in replace of Haman. A second royal edict is put forth in place. Why is that? Because listen, just because Haman's dead, do you know the edict is still in place? On that day, remember, Haman went around and he already got all the assassins all lined up in 127 provinces. All those assassins are already lined up. Just because Haman's dead, that doesn't mean they're gonna be okay. He's just the leader of the bunch. So what does he have to do, the king? He tells Esther, he says, I can't change it, but I can make a new one. I can empower you. Remember, you can pray and fast all you want, but it doesn't eliminate your human responsibility. This kept coming back to me over and over again, that we have a role to play. We have a human responsibility to make sure that we're doing everything we can to see the things that God has declared that would happen in our lifetime come to pass. If I'm not available, doesn't mean God's not available. But what am I doing to bring it to pass? Where's my voice? Where's my witness? Where's the light that I'm supposed to be shining? How many of you see that? Very important. So a royal edict is put in its place, empowering the Jews to fight and kill anyone who would try to harm them. So they had this time to train, to prepare, to get ready, all of these things. Chapter 9, the holiday of Purim. On the 13th of Adar, a day that had been designated for the Jewish destruction, the Jews are victorious over their enemies. The 10 sons of Haman are hung. The 14th and the 15th of Adar is designated to be to celebrate the salvation, the victory. So that's the celebration that's there, right there. So they're celebrating that victory. Now, these 10 sons of Haman, we'll cover that. Hopefully I can get to those parts in Sunday morning and Sunday night. But that's significant, very significant things that deal with that. Remember, when you read the Scripture, everything in there is in there for a reason. It's not just small talk in there. Everything. All Scripture, everything that's in there is very important for us to understand. So keep that in mind. These are the days of Purim. Mordecai initiates Purim practice consisting of a festive meal, the exchange of gifts of food, and the giving of monetary gifts to the poor. Hence, that's why I ask everybody, if you want a time to celebrate, a time to be happy, a time to be joyous, a time to get all excited, here you go. Here's a time for you to do it. You want to give gifts? Here you go. You can give gifts. You want to have food and family and fun? You got it. Go all out. Plan it. Have a great time. Teach your children why this is important. You can do all those things. But here's what it is. It's we don't realize how bad we want to be doing what other people are doing, rather than showing people what God wants the church. We're supposed to be leading, not following. We're supposed to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And if you lose the ability to give flavor, then what good is it but to be trod under the foot of men? So remember, these are important times for us. And Let me just cover this right now. So we look in the morning, I'll talk about some of the history of Purim. I'm reading the Megillah, going through it really quick. This is the shortest way I could have went through 10 chapters. But then we need to know how to apply it. How you apply these things that we learn in the book of Esther. And then I want to look at what does this mean in our future? How does this tie into the book of Daniel and the book of Revelations? All of it ties in. And I want to show you that in the scripture. So that's why we ask for people to take part in this. We're going to have food in just a little bit. Want to have fun. Want you to be excited. This ought to be something. And this is the first one. So next year you can look forward to it. As the Lord will, we'll have a great time. And then the next year, and the next year, and so forth. And you can teach your children these things. Very important. They can learn something. Somebody asked a question about, what does it mean, what happened with the book of Esther? Your children can just tell anybody. And this is important for us. Chapter 10. Mordecai in Persia. Persia, with Mordecai as prime minister, did what? Flourished. The role of Mordecai in the history of Persian Empire is recorded in the King Chronicles. I put that there for the purpose of you seeing that in the end, when God positioned Mordecai, listen, he was given everything that Haman owned. Mordecai was given his house, everything he owned, every possession that Haman possessed, Mordecai got it. Isn't it something? Everything. He just walked. And let me tell you, Haman was second in command. He didn't have some small little townhouse out in the country. Listen, this guy had a palace. This guy had an army, a whole army just for him. He had all the staff, everything he needs, Haman had. Mordecai walked right in. It was all his. So I want you to see, this is the power of God working on behalf of his people. And I'm gonna show you how all these things tie in. I'm going to show you how that Haman is a direct descendant of Agag, the one king that Saul did not kill. He told him, you kill all of them. He didn't do it. And that Haman is a direct descendant of that. And it continues to go on in history today. I wish I had the time, because this has to happen. I'm trying to give you a lot of information in a short period of time. But as the years go by, and if the Lord willing, that we can cover a lot more of this stuff. But if you have any questions, we'd love to be able to go over that with you leading up to that. So I know a lot of you said, well, what is that? What is Purim? So I give you just kind of a condensed Megillah brief summary going through all 10 chapters. That's what I just did. This is good information. It's broke down into digestible pieces for you to be able to share. So I encourage you to get this and share it with your children, share it with your family, and let them know. So again, how often should we do this as far as celebrating? Well, we're going to celebrate today. We're going to tomorrow. It's a time to be joyous. It's a time to be happy. It's a time to recognize that we were lost, certain death, but now we've been saved. It's a time to give God glory and honor and praise and thanks for all that he's done. Amen? Well, let's stand. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. I think I've kept my promise. Somebody need to write this date down. Charlotte got a big old star in red on her paper. I don't know what that means. I want you to take some time to read the book of Esther if you haven't read it yet. It doesn't take very long to read it. It's 10 chapters. Some of you can read it when you go. If you're a reader, you can go home tonight. Before you go to bed, you can read the book of Esther. It doesn't take long to go through it. If you don't have the time to read it, or you can't read it, you can put the audio in. There's an audio. You go on if you got a phone, you can go on your phone. Most of them have an audio Bible. You can just listen to it. Just think about that. Think about what you're hearing, the whole setup that took place. I just want you to know that God always comes through for His people. If we would do what He wants us to do, then He'll come through for us. I want to just tell you this. Mordecai sent word to Esther when she said, I can't go into the king anytime I want. If I'm not invited, I can die. And this is what he said. He said, well, listen, if you think that you're going to be excused because you're the king's queen, being a Jew, when Haman gets ready to do what he's doing, you're going to come under the same attack as we will. You're going to come under it. So she had to make a decision, a critical decision. I want to just tell you this. God's in the business of keeping his people. You ever wondered this? If it wouldn't have been the book of Esther, maybe it would have been called the book of some other woman who would have stepped up and done with God. God's going to do what he's going to do. Because listen, the power is in the hands of God. One may cast a lot, but God decides whether or not what it's going to land on. That's in the hand of God. And I'll give you those verses of Scripture tomorrow. I want you to see that in the script, in the Word. And so I want you to remember, as we go through this time, these next couple services, I want you to think about what God has done for you. I want you to think about your responsibility to continue to be faithful to the things that God's asked you to do. What is your responsibility? What about us stepping up and doing what God wants us to do? What about being willing to take a risk? When you say, well, you know, if I say that, then what are people going to think? Or what are they going to say? What if God has asked for you to do that? And we're just sidestepping our human responsibility. I don't want to do that. I want to take my responsible spot. And if I die, I die. That's what she said. It's a pretty incredible statement. If I die, I die. But she was willing to step out and trust that she was there for that special time. That's what Mordecai said. For he said, who knows if you weren't put there for such a time as this? And so we have to make sure that we put ourselves in that position to say, God, I want to do my part. How many want to do your part? So I want you to come, prepare. I believe we prepared our lives today. I appreciate all of you who committed to the fast, those who could. We said we just put it out there. If you could, you could. If not, well, you know, you know that reason. You don't have to explain that to nobody. But I want you to know that as we come here to service tomorrow, I want you to open up your heart to the things of God and let the Word minister to you of what God wants to establish in our life. Amen? Father, we just thank you today. We thank you for the opportunity we've been given. We thank you that we could come and we just can honor you and celebrate the wonderful deliverance that you bring about in the people's lives. Lord, we look back in this mighty deliverance that you delivered those that were in Persia. And God, throughout the history, many deliverances where you come through for them every time. And God, all you're asking is for people to stand in faith, to trust that you'll come through. And that's what Esther did. That's what Mordecai did. They just trust in your word. They trust, Lord, that you would come through. And we thank you for that. And Lord, how many times you came through for us? Sometimes you come through in so many different ways, we fail to even recognize it. And I'm asking you, Lord, that you would help us. Help us to see it more clear, that we can recognize these times, that we don't get so caught up in just thinking that, oh, well, it's just supposed to be. God, there have been many times in my life that you came through for me, and I thank you for it. And this ought to be a time that we're thankful, a time that we give glory and honor to you for the mighty deliverance, the mighty salvation. God, if we'd still be in the condition where we were when you found us, God, it would be a mess. But I thank you for the mighty deliverance through Jesus Christ that you've set us free. You've redeemed us, and we thank you for that. And this ought to be a time, Lord, that we shout that glorious praise to you for the wonderful works that you've done. You deserve the glory and the honor for it. And we thank you. And I pray, Lord, each person that's here, God, they would take some time just to begin to reflect upon the wonderful salvation that you've given us many, many times. And God, as we continue to read your word, it would just open up to us and we begin to see more clearer than we've ever had before. We thank you for it. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. There'll be fellowship next door in the kitchen. We'll see you over there.